It's time for Sports Central with Corey Geiger. Brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Tobacco on 96.1 Hank FM. Tune in over the next hour as Corey talks about the teams you care about in Central Pennsylvania. Call in now, 814-946-0435. That's 814-946-0435. Now, Sports Central with Corey Geiger. Brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Tobacco on 96.1 Hank FM.
All righty, good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Central, covering the teams you care about in Central Pennsylvania. I'm Corey Geiger. We've got Nathan Forlina in studio with us. Nathan, this is a very special day. I know you probably saw what I just did.
Yeah, just like pull up.
This is a very, very special day because it was 40 years ago today. What happened 40 years ago today on January 28th, 1985?
We Are the World. Was it just debuted? Was that what
this
it was?
Is when they recorded
okay,
it?
Okay, and if it was a recording or the debut?
Yeah, this was the night of the American Music Awards, and they got everybody together that evening to record "We Are the World," which, as goofy as it might sound, I might be the only person in the world who this is my all-time favorite song.
There comes a time when we heed a certain call, when the world must come.
And we've talked about it, you and I, because I'm such an 80s person, and these are like the iconic 80s people. And you made me feel good a couple months ago when you said I'm not an idiot for having this be my favorite song.
No, I don't think you're an idiot. Sure, now is it my favorite? Absolutely not. But I think that the collection of artists and talent you have in one room on one recording is something that probably will never be matched again. I know there was one a couple years ago with modern people. It ain't the same.
Yeah, not the same thing. So we are going to play We Are the World trivia today.
Okay.
I am going to ask you questions.
You know what's great is I just actually watched the documentary with my girlfriend. She didn't see it, so we watched it probably about a month ago.
Awesome.
So,
all right.
So it's a little bit fresher in my brain.
So we're gonna have some fun with this. Again, hey, I host this show for me. I hope people are listening. But I want to come in here and have a good time every day. So if I want to do We Are the World trivia, then I'm going to do We Are the World trivia.
We got 12 days until the Super Bowl. We got a little bit to go. We got plenty of time.
And we've got a lot of football talk for you. I want to get Nathan's thoughts on the Jim Knowles hiring from Penn State, because this is a significant turning point, really, in the history of Penn State football from a financial and buy-in standpoint. So we're going to talk about all of that stuff. But again, 40 years ago today, We Are the World was recorded. Here's trivia question number one. We'll just kind of shoot these out. And most of these are not very, very difficult.
Okay.
So there was one gigantic superstar in the world of music who was not there.
Prince.
Decided not to go.
Prince.
And do we know why Prince decided not to go?
Because he wanted to play guitar. He had a guitar solo, and he was not given that.
And what was interesting in the Greatest Night of Pop, by the way, anybody want to call and chat with us, 946-0435?
If you have Netflix and you're not doing anything tonight, watch the documentary. It's only like an hour and a half.
Yeah,
so
it's called The Greatest Night of Pop, and it's just spectacular. It shows how the whole thing came together. And most of these questions that I'm asking you would be able to answer if you've seen the documentary. There was a huge component of that evening. The producer, and that's a trivia question for later on, of the documentary or of the song, put a note on the wall for all of these. This is the greatest collection of music talent ever. There were 45 hugely famous artists there. One of them was Dan Aykroyd, but the rest of them were musicians. What was the sign that was placed on the wall, Nathan?
Check your ego at the door.
Okay, check your ego at the door. I believe Prince's ego was just too big for this. At the time, you know, Prince, you're talking post-Purple Rain, and the documentary talks about this kind of friendly battle he's got going on with Michael Jackson. And it's interesting, the American Music Awards were held that night. And so the two biggest stars in the music world at that point were Prince and Michael Jackson. Do you know who swept the American Music Awards that night,
Prince,
winning six categories?
Yeah, it was Prince.
No, it was Lionel Richie. It was Lionel Richie, believe it or not. He didn't win every category, but he won all the major categories, like for favorite artist, best song, all this. It was Lionel Richie, believe it or not. So, and Lionel Richie is the one who put the whole thing together that evening, kind of the maestro behind the scenes. But the reason I ask you about the Check Your Ego at the Door, could you imagine bringing in the biggest stars in the world? Now, musicians are different. They're a different breed. I've been around athletes my whole life. You've been around athletes. Athletes compete. Okay? Athletes have a machismo gene. Everything about that athlete is, I'm better than you, and I'm going to go prove it. Musicians, entertainers in general, can be very, I don't want to say weird. That's the word I'm thinking of. They can be very fickle, peculiar people. Okay, they can be very, you know, competitive, but not in that machismo kind of way of a football player might show up and say, I'm just better than you, and I'm going to prove it to you right now.
Yeah, they're not trying to take that person down across from them. They're trying to kind of lift everybody up with them.
So what's sad is this was the greatest collection of musical talent in America in 1985, and Prince is not there. And so that, to me, as great as Prince was one of the greatest musicians of all time, played all these instruments, was unbelievable, songwriter, all this stuff. But to me, that's a stain on his legacy, that he couldn't bring himself to check his ego at the door.
Yeah, and I just wonder if that's kind of, for the rest of his life, he regretted that. And I'm sure, you know, he maybe his ego's too big that he did not regret it. But, I mean, to not be there is, it's a tough look for Prince. It's a tough look for Prince, considering he was right there in L.A. He was at the nightclubs all night long, basically calling, checking in, like, hey, do you still want the guitar piece? Them saying, hey, listen, no, we're doing this big collection. If you want to come here and be a part of something great, come on down. He just kind of never did it. So, and obviously he passed away, so you'll never get the true answer, probably how it felt. But I'm sure the documentary, and that's something I didn't know before watching this, is it really paints Prince in a bad light, and everybody thinks of him as just gigantic.
Yeah, because of the ego thing. Ego, again, Prince wanted to do the guitar solo. In Do They Know It's Christmas, a year before, with Band Aid in England, Phil Collins actually has a drum solo in there. He's got, so they've got instruments in there. That was all the great British musicians, but Phil Collins actually got to play the drums because that's what he was known for from Genesis before he really became a, I mean, he was already a legendary or a top flight singer at that point. But Prince wanted to do that. Anyway, so one last trivia question now, and I got some more of these throughout the show. What female superstar was not there, and looking back on it, it was a gigantic mistake?
Ooh. Was she popular in 84? Was she big then, or she past her prime?
No, she was emerging.
Emerging?
Yes.
She part of a group at all?
No.
No. Oh, boy. What's it start with? I think you got me stumped.
M?
I don't know. The first thing I thought of was Whitney Houston, but
yeah, that's a good one. That was a couple years, about a year or so later.
But it was, I think it was that year.
It was Madonna.
Okay.
Madonna was not there. Madonna had had one big hit. She was not invited because by that point, again, January 28th, 1985, Cyndi Lauper was the big female star. Her album, She's So Unusual, had come out, I believe, late 83, 84.
Yeah.
That had True Colors, Time After Time, or Girls Just Wanna Have Fun, those songs. So, Cyndi, they already had Cyndi Lauper on board.
I would have thought Madonna was out by then.
Well,
I guess
she was
early
out,
85,
but she'd only
85.
This is basically the end of 84, too. She had
probably
had
Holiday.
I think she had had Holiday at that point, but I think Material Girl was either just coming out. But that was like, I was reading earlier, she'd only had like one hit song out and she was going on tour. But they didn't invite her because they figured, well, they had Cyndi Lauper. And so what's amazing about it is Cyndi Lauper, and there's an amazing story about the whole production of We Are the World, where Cyndi Lauper is just effing up the whole thing because Huey Lewis keeps delivering his line, and then Cyndi Lauper is creating all this all these problems because she's got these massive amount of jewelry,
50,000 pearls probably in different types of jewelry,
and so they had to keep doing the retake. And as it turns out, it's actually great that Madonna was not there. because for as much of a knucklehead as she was, Cyndi Lauper, really, her part was just as good as anybody else's.
Well, it might stick out the most besides Michael Jackson's, because Michael Jackson's is kind of standalone, but her part, I mean, the voice is just so much different than everybody else's. You go from Huey Lewis to her, then who's that, Kim Carnes after?
Okay, so I can go ahead and ask the trivia question. So let's do two more, and then we'll, I promise you folks, we're going to talk football.
We will talk sports.
I can talk
on
this
Sports
all day,
Central.
And Nathan is going to actually take over the last half of the show. So bear with me. I'm having fun. If you're not, well, hey, whatever. We'll talk some football in a couple minutes. So I was going to ask two questions. Which solo artist had the fewest words in the song?
Is it Kim Carnes?
Kim Carnes, okay. Because right after Cyndi Lauper, before they go into the chorus, you hear Kim Carnes say, "When we."
Just two, yeah.
Those are her only solo, because then Huey Lewis and Cyndi Lauper jump back in, stand together as one. So Kim Carnes...
only two words.
Only had two words in her solo, but it was pretty good. I thought she did a good job.
Yeah, she did a good job.
Of the three artists who had the most words, can you name at least two?
At least two. So, right.
So this is where the nitty-gritty.
Bruce Springsteen's got to be up there.
All right, that's great.
Is he
one of the three?
Is he one?
It depends on how you look at various things. But they're all pretty close.
Okay, Bruce Springsteen's, I would imagine, is one of them.
You're one of the few people here that I can play this game with. That's how much respect I have for you and your music knowledge, that you're one of the few people.
I've done this for a job with trivia for a while, so I mean, I should know this kind of stuff. Yeah, it's Bob Dylan's up right there. That was my next guess.
No, it's not him.
I wasn't,
he only had a couple lines.
His was quick.
These people had like a line to two, and then some people came back in for some closing things, mm-hmm. and that's where...
Is it Ray Charles?
One's Ray Charles,
okay.
And the other one, he probably has the most of anybody.
Oh.
But it's close. They're all right there.
Oh, my gosh. Who is this? I don't know. I'm clearly missing someone that's kept going back in it. Is it just Michael Jackson?
He actually appeared a number of times, but he didn't have a whole lot of words. It's Stevie Wonder.
I was going to say Stevie. But I just can't. I was trying to remember because I was like the music video. I've seen the music video before. I just don't remember. I remember him playing the piano, but I just don't remember him singing his lines.
At the end, after everybody had left. So it's called The Greatest Night of Pop because you've got all the solo. First of all, they did all the chorus people. They had the 45 people there. Then they left, and then you just had the 23 solo singers. And then they left. And then Quincy Jones, they picked up the pieces where they needed. And that's where Ray Charles does his thing on his own.
Mm-hmm.
And James Ingram, who is tremendously underrated, he comes back in a couple of days and does a thing on his own. And Stevie Wonder. So you can see, like, Ray Charles, James Ingram, Stevie, they're doing some things like, and these parts are not included in the documentary as much because they weren't, quote unquote, on that night. On that specific night.
Yeah, okay. Stevie Wonder, as much as I know he did in the song itself, I wouldn't have guessed him because I don't remember him singing that much. Probably because
toward the end, when Bruce and Ray Charles and Stevie are cleaning everything up, they keep going back.
They're going back and forth.
They've got a bunch of lines.
Bruce and Stevie
are going back and forth.
Yeah, so I remember that.
Like
now.
I said, Nathan's one of the few people I can play this game with, so that's awesome. We're going to talk some football after this, I promise.
Nobody knows more about pipes and cigars than J.M. Boswell. They've been making pipes for 48 years. Here's J.M. Boswell himself.
I want to invite you all to come to our shop. Feel welcome like family. We sell great cigars, great pipe blends, and you can sit in our lounge, have a smoke, enjoy yourself. Boswell Pipes is located at 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22 in Alexandria, PA. We are open from 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday and 9 to 4 on Saturdays, and always online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
J&P Auto Mart knows you hate the snow, but when it snows, you save at J&P Auto Mart. J&P Auto Mart has more trucks than any other used car lot in three counties, along with SUVs and all-wheel drive cars. You've already had a taste of winter, and you know you need a reliable car, truck, or SUV. Get to J&P Auto Mart. They have trades and discount accordingly. When it snows, you save at J&P Auto Mart. 1906 Pleasant Valley Boulevard, Altoona.
Howdy, the old farmer here. You know, from the almanac. You know this wonderful snowy winter we're having that I predicted? Well, it's going to bring a plentiful growing season for farmers like me and for lawn and gardens like yours. Many don't understand what winter can do for growth, but the McCoy family at McCoy's Lawn and Garden in Roaring Spring does. Just go to McCoy'sLawnAndGarden.com and check out their full selection of the Kubota BX series tractors and lawn equipment. Kubota is the only real choice for mowing, spreading, plowing, digging, planting, whatever you need, the Kubota BX series can handle. The Kubota BX series is the brand that you know and trust, with easier operation, superior comfort, and a new, simpler system for attaching and detaching Kubota implements, so you can switch jobs like a pro. This spring, count on the McCoy family for the Kubota BX series that you need. Stop at McCoy's Lawn and Garden today to pick up your new Kubota. Route 36 in Roaring Spring. McCoy's Lawn and Garden, helping sow the seeds for tomorrow.
Hank FM.
And that's my favorite part of the song. That's Steve Perry. I contend Steve Perry's got as good of a voice as anybody in that room, and that's a hill I'll die on, Nathan.
It's not a bad hill. He does have a great voice. I won't deny it.
I got a text here from Byron a few minutes ago. Do you ever talk basketball anymore? And you know what? For a lot of years, I've spent a lot of time talking college basketball. If we can get to February and talk college basketball, that's a good time. Because that means Penn State's usually playing well. And I responded to Byron, not since PSU sucks. But I do want to spend a minute on here for a second. They lost again last night to Michigan. They were up 72-67 with less than 2 minutes to go and didn't score again and lost 76-72. That's six losses in seven games. You know, Mike Rhodes came in, and there's a lot of high hopes about Mike Rhodes last year after Micah Shrewsbury. They struggled, losing record in the Big Ten. This year, they may not even make the Big Ten tournament, for God's sake, let alone the NCAA tournament. They might not make the Big Ten tournament.
Yeah, what are they, 2-7 in conference?
They're 3-7 right now. A lot of these games are close, but, you know, did you grow up rooting for or following Penn State basketball? And the second question is, Why would you have done that?
So I had zero interest in – I liked college basketball. I had zero interest in Penn State basketball really until COVID year, in which they were going to make the tournament.
Stevens.
And then they got – obviously the entire thing got axed right there. And then they take a year – they have a bad year. Then after that, I believe the next year they'd go to – maybe it's 2 years after they'd go back to the tournament, beat Texas A&M. I think they lost to Texas then.
Played them well.
Then that was a really good team. I mean, that was – they had some NBA players. Jalen Pickett was on that team.
Yep.
Lundy was on that team. Mm-hmm. They're both, I think, still
Andrew
in the NBA.
Funk.
Andrew
when
Funk.
You're on radio,
what a three-point player.
Yeah. Here's the radio tip of the day. If you ever have a player named Funk, you have to make sure you enunciate Funk, Andrew Funk. You have to say I had to catch myself a lot during his career.
Exactly. You get one letter. Kind of brace everything right there.
That'd be bad. Hey, speaking of the devil, Byron calling in talking some basketball. What's up, my man?
Hey, Corey, what do you think? They did it again.
They did it. Here's the thing. They got a lot of veterans. They just don't know how to close. Penn State.
And I'll tell you, Corey, I'll tell you what else they don't want to know, that they don't know. When you watch that game, and near the end there, when they were up by four,
mm-hmm.
And Michigan come down, and they were out of sorts with 12 seconds on that clock left.
Yep.
Dusty May called a timeout.
Yep.
And they came back and scored a basket. Where the hell's the Penn State coach calling a timeout?
We talk a lot in the NFL about timeout usage. Timeout usage in the NFL really comes down to clock management and feel in late games. College basketball timeout usage comes down to what are you seeing on the floor? What are you seeing disheveled play? Are you seeing some kind of cohesive thing? And calling timeouts in college basketball is very, very, very much part of what the head coach has to be responsible for. And I'll agree with you. It was horrendous timeout usage last night. I wouldn't say Mike Rhodes is anywhere near the Mike Tomlin school of awful timeout usage, but Mike Rhodes has had issues with this over the past over two seasons now that really make you wonder what he's thinking.
Corey, let me talk about the portal a minute. As you well know, I have become an FAU, Florida Atlantic, fan. And 2 years ago, they got to the Final Four.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That team all transferred. You've got a 7'1" center playing at Michigan that's their leading scorer. You've got a kid, Elijah Martin, that went to Florida. He's their leading scorer. You got a kid that went out to San Diego State. He's their second leading scorer. You got another kid that went to Arkansas that's starting and doing well. Can you imagine what that team would have been like with them all here again now?
Byron, this is a perfect time to call with this. We're gonna talk about this for 10 or 12 minutes. Nathan and I, along those realms, but about something else. I'm gonna use what you just said as a jumping off point for a good conversation for all this. Okay, you ready?
Okay.
Thanks, buddy. All right. So I wanted to bring it up with the Jim Knowles component, Nathan. This guy wins a national title and leaves. College basketball players, what he's talking about. These guys were in the Final Four. Now, they had a good year last year, but they slumped, and then they leave. This is really what bothers me. Now, look, it's phenomenal what's happening for Penn State that they got Jim Knowles. That's
yes.
Great. That's great. This is a separate conversation. But we're in a realm now where you win the national title, and you're leaving for really, in every way except the pay, a tiny step down. You can say lateral move, but Ohio State's ahead of Penn State.
Yeah,
so
it's not a lateral
it's
move.
It's not a lateral, but the pay is more. This is really, and again, what Byron talked about with the college, because that's Notre Dame has lost three starting offensive linemen. Notre Dame was in the national championship game, and they've got three starting offensive linemen already in the portal. At what point is being on a great team and trying to sustain something going to be enough? Is that ever going to be enough again?
I don't know. That's a great question. I just think with the way we're in now, it's going to be who throws the money your way. Who's going to pay you the most? Penn State gave what? It was an extra $1 million for Knowles?
We think $3.1 million. I don't know exactly what Ohio State's top offer was, but it wasn't $3.1 million.
Yeah. It's just, it's what it's going to be, and that's business in general. I mean, at the end of the day, as much as we love college sports, and for a long time it wasn't this way because you weren't, especially with players, paying players, besides the SEC probably. But anyways, you weren't paying these players outright and publicly, and you weren't saying, hey, Jeremiah Smith, we have $4.5 million if you come here, whatever program that is. Hey, Carnell Tate, we'll give you $1 million, where you're just now poaching these great players and throwing a large amount of money at them and basically saying, hey, listen, come to our program right here. We want to try to build something with you. So it's never going to be the same. And I guess if they put a cap on how much you can spend through all your sports this April rolling, they're going to come down with, maybe it'll help out a little bit. But at this point, it's anything that we've known the last 100 years with college sports, throw it out the window. It's all new territory.
It's all gone. And what Byron was talking about, that basketball situation with FAU, their coach, Dusty May, left to become the coach in Michigan. That's a good deal for him. He got a lot of money. And so if your coach leaves, it's understandable from a smaller program that other people are going to leave. But, you know, you used to want to leave bad teams. Now, again, three of Notre Dame's in the national championship game. Three of their starting offensive linemen are transferring. Ohio State won the national title. And their defensive coordinator, now there's some behind the scenes going on there, whether or not he got along with Ryan Day, Larry Johnson, all that. But he leaves. You know, it's amazing Jeremiah Smith stayed, because, you know, if somebody would offered him $6 million, I'm sure there would have been a breaking point. I'm sure there would have been some level of a breaking point. There was a rumor that he got offered $4.5 million. Do we know by who?
I'm going to look that up. I do not think that was released.
Yeah. And so think about that. You could have had the best receiver in college football transferring out of a national championship. I thought about this a lot, really, the last couple of months. We've had a lot of shows that have focused on the business side, focused on how things have changed. I don't want to be this old geezer and speaking of an old geezer, Clarkster is going to call in and talk about this too. So as soon as I start to say this, Clarkster, who loves poking the bear at me, this is why we talk about it so much. I don't want to be one of these guys that just says, "What the hell are they doing?" and throwing my arms up, and you know, why isn't it like it used to be? Because that's the reputation that old people get. You when you get to be old, you go through this phase of, back in my day. Well, you know, back in your day, the world was different, and everybody has to understand. And I've always liked to think of myself as somebody that understands that the world changed. I've stayed up on technology, my computers, cell phones, all. I've tried to stay up with the way the world changes for a 50-year-old man. But the changes in college athletics over the last 2 to 3 years are like going 10 rounds with a heavyweight boxer. You're just getting pummeled so often, so frequently, with so many things going on that it's almost like, what else can I do but go in my little shell and say, please, no mas, exactly. Roberto Duran.
Exactly. I don't know, and I think it's because there's no regulations, and it's kind of just all happening now all at once because it's maybe built up for decades, all this kind of stuff. So I think that's why it's just the wild, wild west here in all collegiate sports. He was talking about with the college basketball and FAU, and then we're talking about it with Ohio State and Notre Dame. So it's just, we haven't seen any regulation. We haven't seen any of this really in the past as well. So it's kind of all new and unfamiliar and charred territory that we're kind of learning. And
we had a great discussion Thursday. You and I, we went back and forth for 15 or 20 minutes about how things used to be versus the way things are now. And I kept coming back to the point of saying, like, you know, this isn't how things always were, but I think people nowadays just kind of resign themselves to the fact that this is how it's going to be. Nothing's going to change.
Because I think people have seen the progression over the last 60 years in all sports.
But then, I really hate doing this. I really hate treading this line. I just don't want to talk politics. I don't. It's just so mind-numbingly frustrating, no matter what side you take. But I am going to say this: we have seen a movement start where things are just going to change, whether you like them or not. They're going to change. Period. Things are changing so rapidly. This is the genesis of why I had the idea the other day of, like, if you could be the president of all sports, what would you want to change? Because things have changed so much that in the wrong direction for me from a sports standpoint that I wish we could have somebody come in and say, enough of all this woke bull crap in sports. Enough. We're going back to the way it used to be. Not going to happen.
It's not going to happen. The only thing I think that from 20 years ago I think should be changed is, and this is the problem, is with the people getting paid, they can go other places because other places are going to poach them. But I think the payment is fine now. $4.5 million for Jeremiah Smith, maybe not that much. But I'm fine with payment of players because I think you should profit off your name, image, and likeness. Maybe just the university can't pay them. Maybe they can just do it with sponsorships and brand deals. That'd be the only other thing. But then you're going to have people complain the university is being greedy, taking all the money. We're taking steps backwards. There needs to be regulation. I think that's the bottom line. But people getting poached like the Notre Dame offensive line, that's ridiculous because they're going to get paid exponentially anywhere else. And Jim Knowles leaving, as much as I love it as a Penn State fan, it sucks because if you're an Ohio State fan, you just lost a key component of your...
Right. I always think of whatever you think is great for Penn State, reverse it, and what if Penn State won the national title and then lost somebody to that kind of scenario. You would that would suck if you're, but
well, you might be cheering if Andy Cole and Nicky got.
Well, not sure. Look, I like Andy. I think he does a good job. I think he's overrated. But the point is, even this is what bugs me. Even when things are going very well, people are leaving. Now, look, that happens in the real world. That happens in the job force all the time. You might have a great job. You might be employee of the month, employee of the year, whatever, and you decide to go take more money at the company down the road. This is real life. I totally get that. But I think I have the right to say I don't like it.
You know? Yeah, you do.
But as a sports fan, can you not be loyal to my freaking team?
Because I think you're the majority of people. I think a majority of the people feel that exact way.
They want you to be loyal to their team like they're loyal to their team.
Yes, because you're a fan and you expect everybody to be bought in. You don't expect, you know, especially free agency and professional, you'd expect 40 years ago Paul Skeens would be a Pirate for life. Now you're basically like, okay, this dude's going to be here for 4 years. Let's enjoy what we got.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, and you have to understand it. Clarkster, what's going on? How you doing, man?
Oh, let's play that song, Be True to Your School.
Nice, yeah.
Yeah, anyway, first of all, that song is so overrated, We Are the World. How did he get them all sober at one time?
Well, I think the only one that wasn't was Al Jarreau. Was that his name?
Al Jarreau, in the documentary, they had a bunch of wine, and Al Jarreau from did the Moonlighting song, good singer. He was hammered, and he kept stammering through his line. The fact that he actually got a good line through it, he apparently was hammered.
But of all the people to be singing that, they aren't the world. They're the total opposite of what the world is.
Oh, you're pissing me off something fierce today. Yep. You're
anyway,
making fun of my song.
Anyway.
they were trying to do a nice thing.
They raised flustered. They raised $60 million.
Yeah, well, that just shows you, if they can raise $60 million, how many years ago, where do you think all this is going to go with sports and everything? You know, supposedly the school is supposed to have nothing to do with it. You know, they may direct them to somewhere.
Yeah, but that's all changing. This is going to be
one friggin' joke. Penn State's talking about offering early retirement and getting rid of some of the satellite campuses around the state and everything, and cutting back even at Altoona, perhaps.
Yeah,
and stuff. And what's the perspective on all this stuff? You're going to have guys that are going to come for 1 year and play on your team. It's going to be worse than the pros.
That's after he pissed me off, you actually did get it back around to saying something really, really intelligent. So I'll give you that, because this is worse than the pros. And this notion that college athletes have – they went forever having no freedoms, really – and well, it wasn't that long ago that if you transferred, you had to sit out a year.
Yeah.
To now, you have more freedoms than professional athletes. Professional athletes have multi-year contracts.
I was about to say, athletes are under contract.
Yes.
You can't just walk up and leave.
They got way more than the scholarship. They got way more with the other things.
They got way more than anybody could have ever hoped for because, again, they're all – I would say 1 year free, but they're not. Theoretically, you can sign with a team in May and for football, go play 4 or 5 games with them, transfer, and I believe you can still – I don't think there's a rule against you playing in a game for another team that same season.
I don't know if you can do that.
I think you can in bowl games. Bowl games are playoffs.
Really? I did not know that.
I think you can in bowl games because bowl games count as a different entity.
Because my first thought was that UNLV quarterback and what he's going to do after this because he – opted out, 4 or 5 games. He said I wasn't getting paid enough.
I'm not married to that belief but there was a lot of discussion around the bowl game of like whether or not, you know, somebody, if they could have joined a team, could have actually played for a game.
Well, there was, I think it's 1/4 of the games. I believe that's why you see some kids play 4 or 5 games.
Well, that's for the redshirt policy. But now there's going to be no more redshirting because the NCAA is going to adopt a policy where everybody has 5 years of eligibility, and that's it.
But this is going to go out of control. But sports on the college level, on football especially, more so than basketball, it's a religion.
Yep. All right, good stuff, man. I'm going to take one more call here, then we're going to let Nathan take over. Jason on the road. What's going on, buddy? How you doing?
All right. So the problem with this is the first time where the pendulum has swung so far to the employee side of rights that this our laws in this country are not set up to swing it back.
That's right.
So once they started paying players and it became a employee-employer relationship, there's no way to rein it back in, because the way the country and the laws in this country are made is that the employees organize in order to rein in the employer, not the other way around.
And what's interesting, you use the word pendulum, because it has swung so far the other way, like we were just discussing. Players used to have very little freedom. Now they've got the freedom to come and go as they please, and you can't even do that. Look, you can't do that in the real world. You can't do that in professional sports. You know, in a lot of businesses, if you leave your job, you have non-compete clauses. You can't go to another similar type of company for 6 months, a year, 2 years, or whatever. So college athletes, the pendulum has swung so far that now college athletes have probably far more rights and possibilities than most employees in this country.
And there's no way for the colleges to go back and say, hey, we want to bring those rights back. Because if the colleges get together and say, we're all going to do this, now they're colluding.
That's right. Yep.
And that's illegal.
That's going to be a lawsuit. That's going to be a lawsuit. Then you're going to have the players all suing colleges. Yep.
Right. So there's no way for this to go back other than truly to say no one's playing any sports next year ever, or not next year, going forward ever. And then when we do, we're going to create a whole new entity that doesn't. I mean, even when Major League Soccer started, those franchises do not employ the players. The players are employed by the league. And that's how they got away with basically assigning players to different leagues, because it doesn't impact their earning potential by having a bunch of organizations, individual teams, colluding on a price to pay players.
That's great stuff, man. I couldn't agree with all that anymore, Jason. Appreciate the call, man. There's, again, he used the word pendulum, which I think is the appropriate word, Nathan,
yeah.
Because now, I mean, why should college athletes have more rights than professional athletes?
I don't know. I don't have an answer for that. They shouldn't, and they do.
Should there be a minimum two to three year contract in college?
I think the only way you combat this is potentially say, hey, listen, you're sitting out a year again.
Or let's go about this the opposite way. Are professional athletes? That's a little dangerous here.
Mm.
Are they going to start to say, we want more freedom? But most pro athletes, they want the big contract. They want because there's the guaranteed money.
Yeah.
That's, you know.
Because
so.
Everybody looked at what happened with Deshaun Watson, said, if we can get that right there, we'll be living the dream.
Could have had Baker Mayfield.
Could have.
Dave in Hollidaysburg, what's up, man?
Hey, one point and one question to be discussed at length. The point being is, right now, college football reminds me, to some respects, if you recall, before the contract with the pros generated and created, in 2010, you had Sam Bradford, who got, I think it was a $50 million signing bonus or guarantee. That was all out of whack, and they were paying college players coming out of the colleges.
I remember
all
that.
All kinds of crazy money,
mm-hmm.
Until the NFL said, you know what, this can't continue. We can't just have this. I think the phrase they use right now with college athletics is the wild, wild west. And they instituted a contract structure where rookies get paid a certain amount of salary cap. And I think at some point, either it's the NCAA or the Big Ten and the SEC are going to come together and say, we can't sustain this. I think I also saw an article, wasn't Ohio State like $30 million in the red?
38. Now that was as of June last year, so that was the previous fiscal year. So that doesn't take into account this year and football season and national championship and all that stuff. But you're right. The number was Ohio State was $38 million in the hole.
Right. My point being is they can't – if you're losing money right now because of salaries and other things like that, you can't sustain the college football model as it exists right now. And if you have – programs, major, you know, Ohio State, one national champ, et cetera, losing money, well, that's going to start, I think, to have pushback, to have some structure.
The one thing, the only thing I disagree,
high school kid, $10.5 million to play at a university for the next 4 years.
They won the title, so they probably don't care if they lost money. If they had not won the title, this is why everybody was going to say Ryan Day might get fired. Because if you go all in, if you've mortgaged your house five times over and something happens and you lose, you're getting a divorce. All right, you're just getting a divorce. But if you happen to win, well, now your wife forgives you and everything is okay. It all, Dave, comes down to whether or not you won.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. You've got programs like Oregon and other places like that, places like Penn State, who are trying to put together the money, the NIL money, whatever. And I think you had one college coach who said, it wasn't a major university, but it was a university where he says, I spend my entire summer raising money for the football program.
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
You can't sustain it if you're losing money to buy a title. It's just they're going to say we have to do – hopefully they say we have to do something.
And this is where I do want to get – let's get one more call. Thanks, Dave. I do want to get into Penn State being able to say – be in position now to buy this because I want to spend some time on that to close the show. We're going to take one more call from Jai, and then we'll have that discussion. Jai, what's going on?
Hey, how's it going?
All right, buddy.
I think they should sign a contract, but the payout goes over 4 years. Now, each year, you know, they get different amount, but they get a percentage each year so that they don't get the full thing until a fourth year.
I'm not opposed to that, but what happens if you become a superstar? Okay, this is where college – Saquon Barkley's four-year deal at Penn State would have been a minimum. But then when he became Saquon Barkley, does he have the right to renegotiate?
Well, each year you get a one-year contract, but you get a percentage the first year.
I got
you. Now, the next year you get an extra $1 million, then you get a percentage of your total again.
So what do you do with guys like Dom DeLuca and give me another random Penn State player?
I don't know why.
What kind of percentage does Liam Clifford get?
I was going to say number 16 tight end. I can't remember his name.
Luke Reynolds?
Not Luke Reynolds.
No, Khalil Dinkins.
Yeah, there you go.
You could set the standard and everything outside of that.
I like that. I like that. So it's a revolving door kind of thing.
Yeah, and it kind of entices them to stay. You know, there's a commitment to it.
Yeah, I like that idea.
But the one thing I'm kind of in, I look at things a lot like you wish it was the way it was before.
Yeah.
I just wish we could do this championship stuff, you know, all the playoffs back then. So we could see how teams that stayed together. And,
that would have been fun.
You know, those
yep.
kind of things.
You know
yeah.
what? When we got.
Amazing.
Do you know when we got to enjoy that? The 1980s and 90s with the NCAA tournament. Teams that stayed together. Those Duke teams,
exactly.
UNLV teams.
Duke
we'll
Carolina.
Never see it again. That's right. Yep. Yeah, that's a good memory there. Appreciate it. Nathan, where are you on Bob Dylan? Overrated, underrated, can't stand it, what?
So I've always been under the impression that I think he's the most overrated artist of all time. He's a great lyricist.
Mic drop!
Boom, right there. I think his voice is not that hard.
The NASCAR offseason is officially over with racing this weekend with the Cookout Clash at Bowman Gray Stadium in North Carolina. Sure, it's an exhibition race. There's no points. There's no championship implications, but Hey, we've got the roar of engines and some short track racing. 200 laps, 50.6 miles, 23 drivers ultimately doing battle after qualifying in heat races. More throughout the week, of course, but make plans to watch Sunday, the last chance qualifier at 6 p.m. and the main event at 8 p.m. Eastern on Fox. Casey Kane returns to NASCAR Xfinity Series racing for Richard Childress Racing coming up at Rockingham on April 19th. Kane is going to drive the number 33 in the 250-lap event with sponsorship from HendrickCars.com. Interesting partnership there. This will be Casey's first start in a NASCAR National Series since 2018, and he's won 18 Cup Series races, with his last win coming at Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Kane does have a Truck Series win at Rockingham, The Rock, back in 2012. Another Harvick is coming to NASCAR, in a few years anyway. Kevin Harvick's son, Keelan, is getting ready for his first full-time season in a full-size stock car here in 2025. Look for him behind the wheel of a pro late-model car after winning 27 times in 49 starts in 2024. Keelan, by the way, is just 12 years old. This is the final lap.
We're definitely going to be late to the concert. I feel like we should be there by now.
I'm just taking a little detour. I got to fill up my gas tank, and I know this place a couple towns over where the gas is cheaper.
Are you serious? We're going to be late for the concert because you're driving out of the way for cheaper gas? Just use Upside.
What's Upside?
Upside is the free cash back app that gets you real cash back for every gallon of gas you buy.
Wait, I can get cash back just for buying the gas I need anyway?
Yes, I use it all the time, and I've made around $200. Now pull over so you can download the Upside app before we miss the concert.
Download the free Upside app now to earn cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code TRAFFIC25 to get an extra 25 cents per gallon on your first tank. You can cash out anytime, right to your bank, PayPal, or as a gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code TRAFFIC25 for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code TRAFFIC25 for a 25 cents per gallon bonus. That's code TRAFFIC25.
Nobody knows more about pipes and cigars than J.M. Boswell. They've been making pipes for 48 years. Here's J.M. Boswell. Well, himself.
I want to invite you all to come to our shop. Feel welcome like family. We sell great cigars, great pipe blends, and you can sit in our lounge, have a smoke, enjoy yourself. Boswell Pipes is located at 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22 in Alexandria, PA. We are open from 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday and 9 to 4 on Saturdays, and always online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
Kepner's Grandview Meats, 1544 Pleasant Valley Boulevard. Nell and Chris have hot meals to go, available throughout the day to fit your schedule. Home-cooked goodness for the price of fast food. Roast beef with mashed potatoes and gravy, or ham pot pie. Turkey with homemade stuffing and mashed potatoes. They have meatloaf dinners. Kepner Grandview Meats, now with new hours. Open Tuesday through Friday, 8 to 5. Saturday, 8 to 3. Call 814-943-6328. That's 943-MEAT. Kepner's Grandview Meats.
Back in 1985, when We Are the World was released, after their celebration, after the night was complete, they didn't have something in their wheelhouse, which sucks. And I think back then, if there was one thing that could change about that night, they would have added a J.M. Boswell's Piper cigar to their rotation right there. 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22, Alexandria, PA. Open all the time, always open online. I think it's, what, 9 to... I forget. I should pull up the ad read. I forget. I'm starting to lose it a little bit, Corey. But.
So Bruce Springsteen and Stevie Wonder, Ray Charles, they're the last people leave. I can see Bruce Springsteen lighting up a J.M. Boswell cigar walking out.
I'm pretty sure after he had to fly home from Buffalo, that's the first thing he wanted to do was take a pit stop in Alexandria, PA and get himself.
I have no
clue when J.M. Boswell's was open, but I'm assuming not 1985.
They would have loved J.M. Boswell.
They would have loved him. That would have been their victory cigars. Good, check them out if you're in need of any cigar products. So I guess I got a couple minutes here. We're going to talk about Penn State football and kind of how now they're a top spender. They're putting all their chips in the middle, kind of like we just talked about Ohio State last year, Michigan the previous year, where they get these guys coming back committed to the team, and they're saying, hey, listen, we're going to run it back one more time, and we're going to compete for a national championship. So I guess the first thing I'm going to say is it a disaster if they don't win it? Because we talked about Ohio State putting all the chips. And I think the expectations for Penn State fans, I mean, I think people are expecting them to compete. But people like me and you know the song and dance that happens every year where they fizzle out, they have a great start, they don't beat Ohio State, everything just kind of goes downhill from then. I don't know, because here's the thing. I can make an argument that every, even Ohio State this year, I think they might be more talented than, which is crazy. That's what's insane to me, is they might be the most talented team top to bottom in the country. Maybe Texas is a little more talented, but you look at a lot of these teams. Oregon had a ton of graduate guys coming in, right. Dylan Gabriel, a ton of guys leaving for the NFL. Ohio State is kind of a whole new roster. They got tons of their seniors leaving. Penn State really has their core intact. This was
offensively. Except for Tyler Warren. And that's the thing. I wouldn't go into the season saying that if they don't win the title, it's a bust. I mean, Ohio State was there because Ohio State's been there for so long.
And that would be my expectation, too. I think, but you can't get a first-round exit with this now.
No. This is what I'm gonna say. Gotta make it. Yeah, you gotta make it. And they're not gonna fall into the greatest bracket ever, being a sixth seed and then playing basically two Illinois. You know, I continue to go back to we can have another discussion for another day. Penn State became an elite program without picking up any elite wins.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I continue to say,
because now everybody's kind of just putting this idea out there that they're an elite team because they got to the Final Four, because they had Drew Aller.
Even Josh Pate. Do you follow Josh Pate?
I do not know.
Josh Pate is a national college football guy. He really kind of sucks up to Penn State a good bit. He talks a lot. Even he mentioned the other day, and I've been talking about this for 2 months, that, well, who did Penn State beat? They beat SMU and Boise State, and he said, paraphrasing, he said, that's basically beating like two good high-level Big Ten teams. Not top-level Big Ten teams, but high-level. And I've been saying that for months, that SMU and Boise are equivalent of beating Illinois. I mean, you're talking about basically a top 18 to 20 win.
Yeah, it's a good win, but it's nothing like crazy. It's not Ohio State. It's not Oregon you're beating.
And the three teams they played that were elite-level programs, they lost to them. Mm-hmm. So, but the bottom line is Penn State has become an elite program. They've kind of backdoored their way in because they've almost like, you know, maneuvered into eliteness without having beaten an elite team.
Yes, and this is the problem, is you haven't beaten an elite team, so I feel like with a lot of Penn State fans, there's still some worry there that they're not going to do it because they've, again, seen this happen plenty of times. So I don't know what's going to happen, because as talented of a roster they have, they feel like they can't get over the hump ever. It seems like whenever they go into a big game, they just kind of shell up for some reason, just can't make the big plays. They don't have an explosive playmaker, which is another big thing. They don't have anybody that can catch the ball right now. Luke Reynolds, I'm sure, was going to do fantastic. He's not going to be Tyler Warren, though, so let's throw that out right there. They got a transfer wide receiver in. Who else they got? They got basically me running
out there. Yeah, the two wide receivers. That's going to be an issue. I do want to tell you, we have a phone call, so we can kind of...
All right, well, we'll head to the phone lines. Who we got on the phone lines? Where are you calling from?
This is Jim from Altoona.
How we doing, Jim?
Oh, not too bad. Did anybody see the Rooney's conference yesterday?
I did not. What happened?
Rooney, Art Rooney II, basically talked about Mike Tomlin, saying we all believe he's a good coach. We still believe he has the leadership qualities to lead this team. And then he also talked about he expects to keep either Justin Fields or Russell Wilson, but probably not both.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What are they going to do about the offensive line or the defensive line?
Yeah, that's a long conversation, Jim. We're down to about 60 seconds, but they're going to have to address that. There's no question.
The number one thing they should address is the offense line, because that feels like, and listen, I think Russell Wilson, there's a good chance he goes to the Raiders with Pete Carroll. I think that's a real possibility.
I like that.
And then I think Fields is going to be the guy here next year. I do. I think Fields is going to be the future quarterback for the Steelers. We'll kind of wait and see. Although Russ is saying he wants to finish his career with the Steelers. We got another phone line. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
This is Nebraska Man.
Nebraska Man, how are we doing today?
Good. Hey, I just want to make a comment here real quick. Where's the old saying about education first in college? That's gone way by the wayside. They've made college sports now anything but professionalism. It isn't about the kids getting their education, setting their lives. It's about certain people making a pile of money. And I think Penn State, they ought to be like Ohio State. You got to give Ohio State a lot of credit. Every year, their opening games is always somebody in the top 10. They played Oregon last year. This year, they open up against Texas.
Penn State will never do that. Penn State's ready to play Nevada and Buffalo.
Yeah.
Well, Delaware, oh, man, it's going to be fantastic.
Penn State ain't ever going to win a national championship because this year because they don't have no wide receivers, and every defense is going to decoy on them, two running backs. Allering ain't going to have nobody to throw to. So they're just going to be – they're just spending all this money, and I don't know what for. But, hey, Corey, I know you're cutting for time. Thanks for having me, and have a good day.
You do right one to wrap it up, Nebraska, man. Appreciate it.
Perfect. That's a radio veteran.
Corey's got the 10-second countdown, Nebraska, man. Thank you. Appreciate it. We'll wrap it up on the other side.
Nobody knows more about pipes and cigars than J.M. Boswell. They've been making pipes for 48 years. Here's J.M. Boswell himself.
I want to invite you all to come to our shop. Feel welcome like family. We sell great cigars, great pipe blends, and you can sit in our lounge, have a smoke, enjoy yourself. Boswell Pipes is located at 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22 in Alexandria, PA. We are open from 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday and 9 to 4 on Saturdays, and always online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
ARC Federal Credit Union can help you with many of the important things in life. If you'd like to become a member, ARC has growing opportunities, and you'd be surprised at how easy it is to qualify now that ARC includes over 24 local employers and organizations. And with two branches, it's easier than ever. Services like business loans, online banking, and mobile deposit. Let us show you the many benefits of being a member of ARC Federal Credit Union. Stop into 1919 7th Avenue in Altoona and 419 North 7th Street in Juniata.
With all the activities and sports you and the kids are involved with, who has time to cook? So with that in mind, let's go to Best Way Pizza for the three-cut lunch deal with a soda. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for their awesome 15-cut big deal. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for the 28-cut party box. It's time to get you and your team to Best Way Pizza before or after the game. Best Way Pizza, Greenwood, Altoona, and Hollidaysburg.
Every morning, we rise and shine, make breakfast, and brush away the night's rest. These routines help us start the day off right. Nature Made vitamins are a simple step in that daily care regimen. Multivitamins with daily essentials, clinically studied probiotics for gut health support, magnesium to help relax the body. Nature Made is made to care for you every day. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
When you buy a new house, you might say,
shut the front door.
Winning.
No, seriously, shut the front door. We own this house now.
But you actually need to say,
like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
That's right. The local State Farm agent is there to help you choose the coverage you need.
Welcome to my crib. No one says that anymore, but I don't care.
So just remember, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.
We are the world. We are the children. We are the one to make
the boss.
The boss and Kenny Loggins. Kind of the soundtrack for all 80s movies right there, Kenny Loggins.
And I even cut it off right before Steve Perry.
I know, that's how you know we're cutting short on time. So you would have got any more trivia questions revolving around it?
Here you go. The one last one was okay, this is a good one. So Prince didn't make it. Prince had a member of his band who went in his absence. Can you name her?
Ugh.
They were very good friends. She felt used.
Yes, I cannot remember her name.
She was just there to see if she could get Prince there.
She's in the entire documentary talking about it. I cannot remember. What's her name?
Sheila E.
Sheila E, yeah.
The Glamorous Life. Thanks for playing along. This is great
stuff,
man.
Oh, yeah, it's fantastic. Yeah, it's a great show. If you haven't seen that documentary, please, if you have Netflix, just, again, it's only an hour and a half. Let's be honest, there's no sports on tonight. Unless you plan on watching the NBA. And I'll tell you what, the NBA is pretty much unwatchable.
Nathan's doing the show by himself Thursday.
I'll be doing it Thursday. I think we're talking a little conspiracy theories here on Thursday. I think. We'll see.
Hank FM. WKMC Roaring Spring, Altoona.